Ephesians chapter 6 has already offered us a tremendous amount of help, I think. We have said over and over again that the overarching point of this section of Ephesians is to help us to stand firm, to help us to remain faithful when things aren't as easy as we would like them to be. But before we dive into the particular piece of the armor today, I enjoy running. And it might feel weird to you, and you might think I'm crazy, which perhaps I am. But I really enjoy running. It keeps me in shape a little bit, and it helps me to clear my head at times. But you know, one of the most important things about running are your shoes. Now, one would think that going and getting a pair of running shoes would be just really a simple process, right? You just walk into the store, grab a pair of shoes, and move about your day. Well, it doesn't take long the moment you walk into the store. You talk to someone who's knowledgeable, and all of a sudden it depends on many, many things. Depends on what type of running are you doing. Are you on a track? Are you on trails? Are you going to run on a road? Are you primarily a sprinter, which I am not? Are you short distance? Are you long distance? Do you pronate? Do you underpronate? Do you have high arches? Do you have flat feet? And on and on and on it goes. There is so much to consider to get an individual in the right pair of shoes for the right event so that what? They will be successful and they'll actually complete the event by which they sign up for, that perhaps they could stand through the entire course of the event. Well, that brings me to an interesting question. What are the best shoes for a Christian, metaphorically speaking? Because you can buy whatever brand you want. It's not what I'm talking about. But what is it best for us? What preparation should we do to be ready? Is there such a thing as a pair of shoes that will cause you and I to be ready? It would cause you and I to stand the test of time as it gets difficult when we're in the long last few miles. Well, interestingly enough, yes, there is. Paul has been walking us through various pieces of the armor of God to help us remain faithful. Now, as we have done that, we have learned that perhaps some of these pieces aren't what we originally thought they were. But let's read. We're going to read again verses 10 through 20 just to see the context of the particular piece we will deal with today. Verse 10. Of chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Verse 14, stand therefore. Notice the theme over and over again. Stand therefore. Having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This morning, we find ourselves at the shoes. The scriptures tell us, or Paul reminds us in the text, to, as for shoes, put on the readiness given by the gospel. Or we could literally say, bind beneath your foot. That's a literal phrase. Now we interpret that and we can say, well, put on shoes. That's literally what it means. But bind under your feet something that's going to help you in the long run. What are we to bind? What shoes do we put on our feet? Well, preparation, our readiness of the gospel of peace. Now, in various translations, you probably already noticed there's some differences. Because there actually is a question that arises here as we dive into this particular text. Verse 15 says, as for shoes for your feet, put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. But there's a question here. The question is, are we to use the gospel as shoes so we can stand firm, so we can have good footing? Hence why the ESV Bible that I just read uses the word given by the gospel of peace. So we are given the gospel that we bind around our feet, that help us remain faithful, that help us stand firm, that give us good footing as we go about our day. Are we to have shoes on, ready to go proclaim that gospel? Are the shoes that we are to put on, are they just readiness to say this message, this gospel that we should go proclaim? Or is it gospel that we put on our feet so we can stand firm and keep our footing when things are a bit uneven? Uneven? What is that? Uneven. That's what I'm thinking of. Uneven. Now, as you'll find out with a lot of scripture, both are very adequate understandings. And they would really fit the context of what Paul is doing. So what are we to do? How do we get to the bottom of what Paul is trying to instruct us? Because if you're like me, one, you're simple-minded. Just give me the bottom line here. If you're like me and I'm seeing that the point of this text is to help me to remain faithful, to be strong, then what are you saying? What am I to do with this gospel? How am I to put it around my feet, Paul? What am I to do? Well, a really good first start in anyone who engages in the scripture is to ask ourselves, are there any other occurrences in the entire Bible of feet and gospel? That seems like a good question. Well, if I put gospel on my feet and be ready and it gives me peace or I'm to proclaim, is there anywhere else where I see the occurrence of feet and gospel working together? Well, yes, there is, actually. A couple places we find it. We start in the New Testament, Isaiah 52, verse 7. Nahum 1, 5. We move to the New Testament. We see it in Ephesians, but we also see it in Romans 10. All of these seem to have a bit of a connection of what Paul is meaning here. Now, why are we doing this? Why are we so methodically working through this text? Because brothers and sisters and those visiting, I want us to stand firm. And if there are shoes that you and I can put on that help with that, well, I want to know them. Do I overpronate? Do I underpronate? Am I going to run trails? Am I on the track? Am I doing long distance? Am I doing short distance? What are these shoes? Well, Isaiah 52, 7, and perhaps you've heard this text. We actually sang in such a way we captured some of these words. Isaiah 52, 7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains. That's great language. I love that language. How beautiful upon the mountains are what? Are the feet. You may be thinking, how are feet beautiful? What makes them so pretty? Because feet are kind of disgusting. But why are these feet beautiful? They're on the mountains. What are they? Well, they're feet of him or her. Okay, don't be offended. Him or her who brings good news. How beautiful are the feet of the person who brings good news. It goes on, who publishes peace. Now we've got good news, we've got peace, we've got feet. They're all working together. Who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Nahum 1:15 actually says the exact same words. You can look it up. It's the same scripture. Then Romans 10, verses 14 through 15, we move to the New Testament. It quotes this actual verse, but here's how it quotes it. It says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? So what's in question here? It's in question those who don't know Christ, those who are not Christians, those who are not a part of God's people. Well, how are they going to know if they've not believed? That's a good question. Then it goes on to pose the next question. And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? Logical thought. Well, how are they to believe in the one they don't know? And then how are they to believe in someone that they've never heard about? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Good job security for me. See the progression? Well, they want them to believe. And not only should they believe, but how are they going to believe if they never heard? How are they going to hear if they've never had someone tell them? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? See, the New Testament authors are seeing, how is it that those who don't know Christ come to Christ? If they don't believe, wait a minute, if they don't hear, how can they believe? And if they don't hear, if someone's not saying, and then who's going to say who gets sin? And then here is the beautiful part of the text, as it is written. See, Romans goes back and says, here's the answer. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Feet, gospel, beautiful proclamation, people believing. Now, we can safely conclude that these verses, emphasize proclamation of good news. Now, we know that good news does some things, doesn't it? It brings peace, it brings happiness, and ultimately it brings salvation. That's why it's so beautiful, because those feet bring something, good news as it's called here, that creates peace. That creates happiness, that creates salvation in the heart of a man or a woman. Now, that's the focus of those texts that are structured very similar to our text in question. But really, there's more we need to ask ourselves. We need to say, is that how this text is using it? And how has the gospel in particular been treated in Ephesians? We've seen the whole scripture. Now we look to our book in question, and we need to ask ourselves, is how is the gospel being treated here? Because really, gospel at its root level actually means good news. So what has Ephesians done when it treats this term gospel, when it looks at good news? Because that's the shoes you and I are to put on. Well, we ask ourselves, is it a term used a proclamation? Or is it a term used for dependence? That's really what's in question here. Now, perhaps it would be really smart for us, because I don't want to assume anything. It would be wise for us to explain the term gospel. Ask ourselves, what does it actually mean? Now, if you grow up in church like I did, or live right in the thick of the Bible Belt, you use lots of terms that you either grow really comfortable with and not really know what they mean, but you actually say them, but you don't really know what they mean. And gospel is oftentimes a term we hear so often, we don't know what we mean by it. Because we know that Paul is telling us to proclaim that thing, and it's also telling us at some level to depend on this thing called the gospel. What is that? Is it just good news? Just generically speaking, or is it something specific? Because we've seen that we are to proclaim it and depend on it. Now, we've already seen how the term gospel was used in the Old Testament. The verses I just read to you is actually the same term. Brings good news. Good news was brought that caused peace, that caused happiness, that ultimately brought salvation to a people. As we maneuver and get into the New Testament, the word actually takes on something very specific. It gets more technical. It captures in one word a very specific story. Come to find out, the story of all the scriptures. You see, the term gospel is a story about God, man, Christ, and our response. If you're unfamiliar with the term or want something to remind you, there's a lovely bookmark out on the foyer that has the whole gospel written on the back. If you're a little weary or don't understand what that particular means, I encourage you to grab one. You can have as many as you like. Because this gospel becomes essential, one, for us to understand what Paul is asking of us, proclaim or dependent. It captures the whole story of Scripture. This term becomes to mean something very specific, that God is the creator of all things, that he is holy, that he is worthy of all of our worship, and he made us in his image to know him. That's good news. That's glorious. But unfortunately, man, though created in God's image, sinned. And they caused all to become sinful by nature from birth. All people are alienated from God, hostile to God, subject to God's wrath. Not so good news. How is that labeled gospel? Because there's something so beautiful on the heels of that. But Jesus. God created us, man sinned, but Jesus Christ, who is fully God, fully man, lived a sinless life, died on a cross to bear God's wrath in the place of all who would believe in him, and rose from the dead to give his people eternal life. We read that scripture together this morning. And lastly, the gospel tells us we respond. God calls everyone to repent of their sins, trust in Christ alone for our forgiveness in order to be saved. If we repent of our sins and we trust in Jesus, we are born again into new life, an eternal life with God. Brothers and sisters, those visiting with us, that indeed is good news. That is the gospel. The good news about what Jesus Christ has done to reconcile sinners, you and I, to God. That's the gospel. Good news of Jesus. And it certainly is a message of peace. It creates peace between us and God, within ourselves, with each other. That is good news that has an impact on our lives. The gospel is so comprehensive in its understanding of who we are, who God is, what Jesus has done for us, that it actually affects all of our life. So it's really no wonder that it's part of our armor as Christians. That we don't just take the gospel to be saved, but we take the gospel to survive every day. It's not a one-shot deal, see you later. But it somehow it's huge. Somehow it equips us as God's people to stand firm. It's no wonder that this would become part of the armor of God. It is a comprehensive understanding of what God has done in us through the work of Jesus. Something about that message, it makes us ready. It gives us the ability to stand, and not only stand, but to stand firm. It gives us legs, so to speak, to stand on. It is that message that we should be ready to proclaim and depend on. You see, that message has been the bedrock of Christianity. It is that good news that has been the foundation for Christianity. It is the bedrock of our life together, and it's the focus of Ephesians over and over and over again. Ephesians unpacks the gospel in chapter 2, declares of this good news of Jesus, that it's worked in our life, and then it goes on to explain the effects of the gospel in our life. You don't put it in the corner. You put it on your feet every day. It gives you legs to stand. It gives you shoes to make traction. Do you know the word gospel in Ephesians is used 7 different times? It's not unfamiliar to the entire book. Chapter 1, verse 13, it calls it the gospel of what? Your salvation. The work of Jesus that has redeemed us. It's the message that has saved us. It is our salvation. Please do not believe that anything else redeems us. It is indeed the message of Jesus. The gospel. Chapter 2, verse 17. This is interesting. And he came and preached peace. The word preach there is the same exact word that we get gospel. So here in this context, it's used as something that is declared that brings peace. And it was preached to them who were far off, and peace to those who were near. So in chapter 2, verse 17, the gospel is something that was proclaimed. It was a message that could be articulated and spoke of, that once again did something. It brought peace. It wasn't ineffective. When it was declared, when it was preached, it brought peace. The emphasis of peace as a result of the gospel is throughout all of Ephesians. Chapter 3 in particular gives us a very specific result of the gospel of peace. Chapter 3, verse 6, this mystery is that the Gentiles, now why Gentile? Why is that so important? Well, they weren't Jews. They weren't like them. They didn't talk like them, smell like them, look like them. So there's something here. He's like, there's a mystery that these people are also fellow heirs, are also people for our conversation who know Christ and love God and are called God's people. They're members of the same body. That's a mystery that Paul is saying. They're partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through what? You guessed it, through the gospel. There's a very specific result of the gospel in the life of God's people, that it brings peace between very different people. Very different races, very different ethnicities and nationalities. Do you know that the gospel has told us that there is no one nation, there is no one race, there is, matter of fact, no one type of human, that the gospel is for more than any other? You see, it doesn't base its effect on you because of race, nationality, how much money you have. No, it doesn't seem to do that. There's not one part of the human race that it's for more than others. It's for all people. It creates peace and unity. It goes on to say in verse 8 of chapter 3, to me, though I am very least of all the saints, that's what Paul is saying, this grace was given to me, and here we see it again, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. See, the gospel is for all people. Let us not think that it's just for people who look like us. Notice it's translated preach again, declaring the good news of something very specific. Whom? Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 11, and he, Jesus, gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, the same word. Apparently, God, Jesus, has given the church individuals who will make this message plain to many. It's just too important to let it slip away. It's just too important to put it up on the shelf and let it collect dust with all the other isms that we depend on. It's just too important. Chapter 6, 15, we see it again. It serves us as shoes. Still haven't really discovered what that means yet. but it has an impact on us. But it's funny that in chapter 6, it shows up again. At the very end of the chapter in 19, Paul asked him to pray for him, that he'd open his mouth boldly to proclaim what? The mystery of the God. Emphasis on proclamation again. All other pieces of the armor up to this point have been a bit defensive. But there's something about these shoes that feel like advancement, moving forward into enemy territory with the gospel. Not your opinion. Not the latest, greatest issue that you want to be really passionate about. But no, we are to carry into enemy territory the gospel that brings peace. Doesn't that sound refreshing? That there's actually something that we can bring that works. There's a pair of shoes that you put on your feet that actually works. They don't hurt so bad anymore. It works. And not only with God, peace with God, but Ephesians puts an emphasis on peace with each other that we know to be unity. Peace is used so much in the book of Ephesians, but I won't bore you with all the occurrences. You're probably already bored now. I'm not. But peace is used quite frequently, even in Ephesians, because it's a big deal. And the way we get there is the gospel. Peace with God and peace with each other. But we have to ask ourselves, okay, so gospel is something I depend on. Gospel is something that I proclaim. Well, how does it work as armor? Because that's what we keep asking ourselves. If Paul is going to give me something that will help me today, I want to know, how's it going to help me? What does it mean to become strong with these shoes of the gospel? There are several ways I think Paul is pressing into how this helps us stand firm. As one scholar put it, this is a great quote, readiness, because notice it says shoes of readiness, or we could say preparation given by the gospel, or that we use with the gospel. Readiness pertains to all of life. Knowledge of the gospel, which we just clearly articulated, should make people alert and ready for life. Christians have been taught in the school of Christ. They are careful about their speech and actions. They do not live in the dark. They live wisely, redeeming the time, understanding the will of the Lord. Such people not only share the good news, but they also are agents of peace and love, ready to do the whole will of God. So the gospel is a strong piece of armor to help keep our feet steady. Give us the ability to sidestep quickly, move around freely, aware of the uneven ground, but yet not affected. That's what the gospel does for us, because it makes us wise. It gives us the only solid answer to the world's ills. When we see trouble, we are not dismayed. We are not defeated, because we have shoes to walk through it, knowing that these shoes, they work. The uneven ground won't trip me up today. The rocky terrain is no match for the gospel, because I got good shoes on. I can make it. I can get through it. It won't trip me up. If I kick a rock along the way, I got good shoes on. I'm okay. We, with the shoes that the gospel gives us, we will embrace suffering as we go about this long, laborious journey. Because what do we have? We have strong shoes under our feet to keep us moving. Because the gospel has given us the final word on our situation. When you're hiking, which is yet another thing I like to do, in hiking, one of the crucial things you need is a good pair of shoes with lots of grip. You can climb things and move about, that if you did not have those shoes, you're not going to make it very well. But when you have shoes with lots of grip, you do not lose your footing in the loose gravel. You remain firm, you finish your task, and you are protected as you go. The gospel grounds us. It gives us traction when everything seems lost. You ever felt lost? You ever felt like everything around you is falling apart? And nothing seems to make sense. There's no level ground. You can't find traction. And there sits the gospel giving you traction when everything seems lost. Going, oh, I have the good news. This good news is true of my life. I can find traction when everything is so slippery. When everything is uneven. When it's so rocky and it's super wet. I do not have to lose hope because the gospel has told me a wonderful story. It's reminded me that the hope I have is sure, right, and it's certainly true. The gospel gives us legs. It gives us traction to stand when everything else looks crazy. You know, there's another way the gospel serves as armor or perhaps as shoes. The part of the armor that helps us to stand firm. Because, after all, we've noticed that's the point. That's the point. That all of these pieces of the armor are to help us to stand firm. And one of the ways that the gospel serves to do that is it brings peace. Now, I've said over and over again, but perhaps one more time is helpful. Ephesians is a wonderful book that clearly articulates a very specific good news, right? We've already seen that. It's the gospel that is about Jesus. It's very specific. But one of its unique features is that it emphasizes how the gospel brings peace with each other. You can't miss it. You read through Ephesians, it makes a beeline to how the gospel, peace with God and peace with each other. Do you know that this peaceful effect that happens within God's people, that makes us strong? Think about that. Unity is a powerful and strong result of the gospel. Remember that old scripture back in the Old Testament, a cord of three strands is not easily broken? I think we might could say a local gathering of many strands who are so radically different than each other is not easily broken. The unity that God creates in us, when we all, if you should see my view, when you're all very different, but the gospel binds us together. Brothers and sisters, that's not easily broken. That helps us remain faithful and stand firm. Word of warning, we become weakened when we begin to believe the gospel is only for those who look, talk, and smell like us. We become weakened. Because that's not what the gospel does. Hatred for others who are not like us, who speak different languages than us, that makes us vulnerable to the enemy's attacks of pride and arrogance. And we will be destroyed. You see, the gospel creates compassion. We become weakened when we believe it's only for us. It's only for people who look like me, who like the things I like, who talk like me, which is not many of us, but there's several of us. Who look like me, smell like me, do the things I do. That's all. That's the only thing the gospel's for. We become weakened when we view the gospel so narrow. It creates pride and arrogance in us. It takes away compassion. It creates a selfish people. And who wants to be around a selfish people? I don't. We become more concerned with our comforts than others experiencing peace with God. We become vulnerable and weak when we think the gospel is only for people like us. You see, it creates a strong people because it creates unity amongst very different people. You see, the church is a gospel entity. Let's be clear here. The church is a gospel entity. That's our business. We ain't got no other business. That is it. We are an outpost for God's kingdom. We show those around us God. Well, there's at least one more way. The gospel of peace is armor. It helps us stand firm because it's also gospel proclamation. We can't get away from it. You simply can't get away from the emphasis of gospel proclamation when you see shoes and gospel. When you look at the gospel throughout Ephesians, we just simply can't get away from proclamation. You see, the gospel does prepare us, actually. The gospel does make us ready, doesn't it? It makes us ready to go. If we go, we are focused. We are determined. You know what happens when God's people go? We grow very dependent on the Lord, which helps us stand firm when our dependence is in God. So when we grow, or when we go, we grow. Hey, that works. When we go, we grow. Hey. We grow more dependent on the Lord. No matter what the circumstances, no matter how bleak it is, our hope is rooted in something that is sure, right, and true, the gospel. Our readiness is not based upon circumstances. Our readiness is not based upon how good of a person I am. It's based upon a story, a message that is true, that is right. The gospel of Jesus. So as we go, we see God move. And come to find out, he moved through that message. If you've ever had the joy of sharing that message and people respond, it does something to us. It increases our faith as we watch God move through the gospel. It's such a powerful message. He moves through that. And my fear is that many of us haven't seen that in a long time. And our faith wanes and it's weakened because we've not seen the gospel on display. We've not seen it radically change people's lives. So I'm sorry, but I have to ask the question. When is the last time you prayed, shared, and then saw someone through faith and repentance come to the Lord? Because when we do, we are strengthened. The gospel is indeed about proclamation, and it's our great dependence that we stand on. Our only firm footing we have with God is with gospel shoes. And those shoes make us ready to go at all costs. Here's a great quote. Missionary work is like a pair of sandals that have been given to the church in order that it shall set out on the road and keep on going to make known the mystery of the gospel. As simply as I can put it this morning, the gospel prepares us to be ready. The gospel works in us to depend on, to stand firm, but it makes us ready to go. What are we ready for in particular? Gospel proclamation. Suffering, a willingness to walk with those who are far from God. You know, it's amazing as one guy described what it means to share the gospel. It's one beggar leading another beggar, right? We've experienced the peace that the gospel has created in us. Every day I wake up, I've got no firm foundation to stand on other than the gospel. It gives me traction when the world is slipping away, and it makes me ready to share no matter what. This morning, if this message of the gospel is stirring you and you wonder more about it, well, there's my info. Call me, text me, email me. I'll talk all day about it because it's just that effective. If there are questions stirring, thoughts that you might have, certainly do find someone. Let's pray. Father God, this morning we come, in all the inadequacies of my preaching, we come overwhelmed with the goodness of the message of Jesus. Father, that gospel creates a firm foundation for us to stand on. It gives us traction in your presence. Father, that gospel makes us ready. It prepares us to go. May we be a people defined by our dependence and our proclamation of the gospel. Father, if there's some among us who have questions, may they find someone. May they ask those questions. May they work through what it means to know that message called the gospel. So, Father, this morning we thank you for the work you're doing, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.